Filled with the Spirit, Jesus returned from the Jordan and was led by that Spirit into the desert for 40 days. And he ate nothing. He was hungry. 40 days in the desert led by the Spirit. Probably why you're supposed to be careful what you volunteer for right after a retreat. You know, the Spirit leads you to all kinds of exciting things. I'm always fascinated by this, you know, when we're inspired by the Holy Spirit to do something. We're really drawn in and we want to respond to that in so many ways. I still remember, it's an incredible thing, when you go into seminary, a lot of guys are like that. They're led by the Spirit, they're on fire, they're passionate, they're ready for something. Check with them the year before they get ordained. Sometimes they're a little more tempered by then, but you know, there's that passion, that fire, it's really beautiful, it's exciting in so many ways. I still remember in college seminary, some of the guys got together and they decided they were going to radically embrace this kind of self-penitence. And so on Fridays, all they ate was bread and water. I still remember sitting down to breakfast one day, and I had a regular breakfast, and I looked around, and half the guys at the table had two slices of bread, most of them had it toasted, and some water. And I kind of looked out, and I felt a lot of man out of it. And I asked, genuinely, I said, what's going on? And they explained to me they were taking on this penitence for themselves to try and increase in their charity and their holiness. And I asked, well, if they're really embracing it, I mean, what are the rules for it? They said, well, we just eat bread and water. I said, well, how much bread? I mean, can you have a loaf of bread for breakfast and a loaf of bread for lunch? I mean, you know, just bread and water is kind of a vague term here, you know? And if we're really embracing this in radical charity, I mean, why even bother toasting it? I mean, you know, the fire is from the devil, obviously, so we need to really, you know, go for it flat out, just, you know, just bread and water. And why is there ice in that water? I mean, if we're really going to do this, you know, why not just have tap water? And they didn't want to sit with me anymore after that. I didn't take on this particular practice, probably because I'm allergic to bread, but, you know, I'm sure there was another legitimate reason for it. But I love this inspiration when we're inspired by the Spirit, led by the Spirit to really come into something and to really embrace it. And we don't underestimate it. I mean, the Holy Spirit can take us to truly incredible things. Without the Holy Spirit, I never would have had a priesthood at all. So, you know, the Spirit does lead us to some really remarkable moments. And the fascinating thing is, you know, Jesus led into the desert 40 days where he fasts. He goes without to prepare himself, to temper his virtue, to focus on what it is that his mission has called him to do. And there, in that moment, 40 days without eating, he is tempted by the devil. And I'm fascinated by this. In every moment in Scripture, when we see the appearance of an angel, it always starts with the sentence, "Don't be afraid," which immediately tells you that there's something worthy of being afraid by the fact that they open with the sentence, "Don't be afraid." And yet, and this still, I don't know, I'm fascinated by this. It's not what the devil says. Don't get me wrong, I mean, the devil is an angel, a fallen angel, I know, and he'll never go back to being an angel with God. But he is an angel. And he just appears to Jesus out in the desert. Now, I mean, if Snickers commercials have taught me anything, I'm not me when I'm hungry. But I'm not really sure that auditory and visual hallucinations are really supposed to be part and parcel of that. So, it just approaches him in the desert. I'd say that he's been alone in the desert, especially if he's gone this long without eating. And here in this weak moment, the devil appears to him. And he doesn't say, "Don't be afraid." In fact, he's kind of looking for it. He's kind of inviting the challenge. He wants him to be filled with fear and doubt. He wants him to be filled with this uncertainty. And he appeals to this uncertainty. He appeals to this fear. Think about it. With the three temptations that are presented before Jesus in this moment of weakness, what's really at the very heart of it is a concern, is a fear, is an underlying doubt. If you are the Son of God, how about you turn the stone into bread? Then you don't have to worry about today anymore. Fed for the day, and you don't have to worry. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself over the side of the temple. Throw yourself over the parapet. You'll be protected. You have nothing to fear, right? If you are the Son of God, well, bow down before me. I can give you everything. It's this fascinating appeal to that fear, to that doubt that we might have. And really, it comes to the heart of what it is. Do we have enough for today? Can we be secure about tomorrow? Are we ourselves safe? I mean, really, it hits to those three moments. It hits to those three parts. Do you have enough for today? Are you safe yourself? Healthy, protected? You know, if you haven't got anything else, you have your health, you have something. Now, can you take care of tomorrow? Can you be sure that you're secure tomorrow? And it's a troubling thing. It appeals to those most basic fears and really at the heart of it all. And really it challenges Jesus directly. It says, well, aren't you in control? Shouldn't you be able to take care of today and tomorrow and know that you are healthy? Know that you are secure within yourself? And it's the most fascinating thing. Because Jesus was led by the Spirit, not by himself. He went into the desert because the Spirit asked him to. Not to say that being led by the Spirit is going to take you to a place where we suddenly have no challenges, no hardships, no difficulties, and no obstacles. But quite the contrary, if the Spirit leads us, then the Spirit will lead us through all of those challenges, difficulties, hardships, and obstacles. If you are the Son of God, why don't you turn these stones into bread? Well, we can't guarantee that we're going to feed for ourselves today. I don't know what this afternoon holds. Based on the snow, neither do you. It's an unsure thing. And I would love being in this community. I really do. Because I can genuinely look out and ask you, especially the farmers, do you really feel that you're in full control of the food? Or is there perhaps, just maybe, a little bit outside your control? You know, like weather and conditions and yield and all these things. You can work towards it and try and overcome as many as you can, but there is a whole lot that happens to food that is outside of our control. Fact of the matter is, we're not in full control. Can you be sure that you're safe with yourself? Can we guarantee our own health? Not actually. Things still happen. We do have to entrust ourselves to God, and if we don't turn our trust back over to God in that, we don't have God as a part of that, then really we're just kidding ourselves. Can you be sure about tomorrow? I doubt that. There are elections coming up. I could not think of a more frightening sentence to make out now. I can't be sure about what happens tomorrow. It is an unsure thing. And yet, we still have a part in it. We still participate and engage in it. Really, the fascinating thing about it is with each of these, the devil challenges Jesus and says, can you be sure that you have these things? When really the answer should be, no, I can honestly tell you that it's not my job to be sure I have these things. Sure, we work, we invest ourselves, and we will definitely have some influence on these things. But we should never kid ourselves to think that somehow we have to be in full control of guaranteeing that we have enough today, that we can guarantee tomorrow, we can guarantee our safety forever. Really, at the heart of these temptations is where we struggle so much in our own lives. And it is, in fact, where the three goods of Lent have challenged us to be. Remember that with every Lent we are challenged and invited and encouraged to grow in those three goods of Lent: fasting, prayer, almsgiving. We don't need a guarantee for today. We actually can fast. We have that opportunity to give up what we have, to remember that God has given us literally everything for our good, that God continues to pour out good things to us, that the Spirit continues to lead us, and as He pours Himself out, He's willing to give up everything for us. Certainly we can fast to acknowledge the love that God has given us. We see it in almsgiving. We don't necessarily have to be certain that we can control every aspect of tomorrow. In fact, we give what we have today, knowing full well that tomorrow is an uncertainty. And that's okay, because we're still with the Spirit. And we know that through our prayer. We know that in our prayer, we may not be able to guarantee our perfect safety right now, but we can be certain that God is with us through each and every step of it. That within our life and within our prayer, within our fasting, we learn to give of ourselves, to be ever clearer about the beautiful reality that the Spirit has led us all the way to this point. Why would we think he's going to abandon us now?